Chapter 1. Crutchfield County, Virginia. Friday morning, September 2nd. The visions begin. The heavy heat of late summer lingered in the Piedmont. Horsemen scheduled their exercise rides early, before the air turned to steam and the sparrow-sized horseflies massed for full assault. Thumper Billington rode out from his home, Montfair, shortly after sunrise. Cantering down a shady tunnel through the pine woods, he saw Ryman McKendrick walking across the open field ahead. McKendrick's appearance showed he'd taken a tumble. He walked stiffly, with a limp in his left leg. His hard hat sat askew on his head. Grass stains smudged the back of his white polo shirt. A smear of gritty soil slashed across one cheek of his blue jeans. "Rye!" Billington called out. "You okay?" Ryman stopped and turned to face the approaching rider. Billington knew well the unfocused look of a concussion. He'd seen it dozens of times on the faces of others, a few times in his own mirror. "Damnedest thing," Ryman said. "Biggest deer I've ever seen. A buck. Must have been at least a 12-pointer, maybe 14. And this thing... something in the middle of its rack. Couldn't tell what." Thumper dismounted and gave Ryman a critical assessment. "Deer spook, huh? Anything broken?" He lifted a hand, three digits raised. "How many fingers am I holding up?"
"Some bitch flew out of the woods. I mean, he really flew, like airborne, right in front of my horse. What was that thing? Shiny, like it was hanging between his antlers."
"Ryman, listen to me. What day is it?"
"I must have gone over the horse's head. I was riding Colby, that youngster just off the track. He'd probably never seen a deer that close before."
Ryman looked around.
"He must have hightailed it home, or he could be halfway back to Charlestown by now."
"Okay, Rye, you got yourself a royal concussion. We can skip the President of the United States question." Thumper pulled out his cell phone. "I think we'd better arrange for a trip in a red light limo." Ryman's eyes suddenly regained their focus, and he grabbed Thumper's arm before he could enter 911.
And there was this mouth. It was like floating above me. I was on the ground, on my back, and I could see the mouth with the lips moving, trying to tell me something. But I couldn't hear any sound, and it wasn't human. I remember thin lips, black maybe, and square teeth."
He released his friend's arm, and the unfocused gaze returned.
Where's my goddamn horse?"
"I'm sure he went back to the barn. I'll get you home, then we'll get you checked out." Ryman's hand shot forward again and blocked Thumper's second attempt to call for help.
"You were holding up three fingers. It's Friday. And the President of the United States is your typical asshole who says one thing, does another, half the country thinks he's God, and the other half thinks he's a commie."
Damn, that was a quick recovery.
"Oh, I probably do have a concussion. Hell, just another day at the office for us, right? But I really did see this, Thumper. Huge goddamn deer. Enormous rack. And something else. It all happened so fast. I was galloping along the edge of the woods, over by Caleb's 40, and this sumbitch just came out of nowhere, right in front of me. Next thing I knew, I was on the ground. Horse was gone. When I sat up, the deer was standing across the field looking at me. The sun was shining off some strange thing, like it was sort of suspended above its head. I stood up to get a better look, and the damn deer just disappeared."
"I don't know, Rye. A nasty head bump can come back to bite you later."
"Ah, shit, Thumper. I've had a lot worse than this. So have you. I'm awake and standing upright. Besides, I don't have time for all that medical crap. I gotta get to town, run some errands, then get to the shop."
Billington put his cell phone away.
"All right. But I'm escorting your ass back home."
During the long walk to the McKendricks' place, Fair Enough Farm, Thumper kept Ryman's bruised brain engaged with light banter.
discussing the success of the summer exercise program for their horses and hounds. Joint masters of the Montfair Hunt, the most important concern to both men was that the informal season of the fox hunting calendar was scheduled to begin the following morning. The conversation drifted in and out of lucid exchange. At times, Ryman spoke with clarity of a specific hound, a promising new entry, and his expectations of how well the hound would hunt. Then he mumbled the same remarks about the deer that spooked his horse, the height of its leap, the size of its rack, his glimpse of some strange object between its antlers, and the image of moving lips floating above him as he lay on the ground. He then looked around, wondered where his horse was, and the loop repeated. They found the young thoroughbred outside the Fairenough barn. It hadn't taken him long to learn where his new home was, and the pull of the herd guided him back. The only damage was a broken set of reins. After untacking and turning the horse out to pasture, Ryman limped toward his F-250. "You sure you're okay to drive?" Thumper asked. "Looks like it's not only your head that got smacked." "Oh, hell, I'm fine. Back's a little sore. Nothing broken, though. Got some ibuprofen in the truck. Gotta hit the ABC store for some scotch to wash it down. That'll fix me up." Maybe the errands can wait. Have Nardell keep an eye on you. If you were having hallucinations, you probably have a more serious concussion than you realize." "They weren't hallucinations. Anyway, Nardell's got appointments this morning. I'll see you at Kennels tomorrow, bright and early." Thumper watched as Ryman drove down the dusty road leaving Fairenough Farm. He could only hope in some vague way that his friend would not pass out behind the wheel. They were not praying men. Chasing foxes was their faith. Scotch whiskey their savior's blood. Ham biscuits their wafers. Their hallelujah was tally-ho, and amen was gone to ground.